corporate home.
Should I bring my politics to work? Is it a political time right now?
That's my politics.
I'm not sure you want to get in this conversation with me. I work from home that day.
We are all talking politics.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie,
work and romance.
It's not an act,
but what is quality time?
It's never a bad thing to call me beautiful.
Men, they want you to be on pause.
Oh my gosh, that had to be a horrible day.
That's gonna say a lot. What up, homies?
Hey, homies. Whoop, whoop.
It's your girl, Demetra, and Bemetra back for another episode of the Corporate Homie Podcast. We are continuing with our love series. We've been talking this whole month of February on topics of love. And I think, as we said on a previous episode, we love love because our grandparents were married on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And so love for us is more than just romantic love. But one of the things we are going to talk about today is a little work and romance, balance and work and romance. So a little romance today, talking about love and balancing your work life and your boo. So the work boo life balance. That's what we're going to
do. Boo life balance. Yes, it's an important topic. So I think one of the biggest challenges everybody always has whenever you're in a relationship and you are killing it at work and you're being a rock star homie is, are you giving your spouse or your partner or your significant other what they would deem quality time or significant time?
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's even more difficult when someone hasn't even become significant yet and you are...
Hello, somebody.
Right? And you are... just starting to date. I mean, I had this.
They're trying to get husband time and you've been on two dates. You're like, you're not my boo.
Exactly. I had this come up earlier, like this week. Somebody was like, when can we get together? And I said, Friday. And he was like, Friday?
You always act like you're so busy.
Why? And that's what he said. Like, you know, you think you're so busy.
Sir,
and I thought to myself, sir,
it's not an act.
I am busy.
It's not an act,
but you can't
get off me, dog.
If you're trying to like have a boo, so you can't really say something like that. That doesn't really go over, but how to balance that. So I guess the first thing we'll talk about is, what is quality time? Because I think everybody thinks of that differently. Some people might think that good morning text is quality time. Good morning.
Morning. Nothing else. Just
good morning, boo. How about this one? Good morning, beautiful.
I actually like that. It's never a bad thing to call me beautiful.
Right, but is that quality time?
That's not quality time. It's a nice thought. It's not quality time. Also, this is not quality time. Let's get together after work. What is after work? After work for me is like 7 o'clock. After work for other people I've dated is like 4:45. Like, I'm not off work. How was your day? It's actually still going.
I say that often. I'm at, so far so good. Still at it. Still making these donuts. Not all. On the grind.
On the grind.
So what do you think is quality time?
I think that it means different things to different people. And I'll say for me, you know, quality time is doing something together, whether that's sharing a meal, having a cocktail, participating in an activity. It's not just being in the same house together, you know, that type of thing. But I will say with my schedule right now, having quality time during the week has to be planned. It has to be something that is discussed in advance. It's very difficult for me with the schedule that I have for someone to call me, say on a Tuesday morning at 6:30 and say, let's get together this evening. That's going to be rare for me to be able to do that, whether it's with a girlfriend or a friend or somebody that you're dating. It doesn't matter. It's just going to be challenging. So quality time for me is actually the two of us doing something together.
So too, but I don't feel like that I can't do things on the cool. I just can't do them sometimes in the way that people want them done.
Okay, so that's what I mean. Like, I can do it. It just might be at 9 p.m.
Or I might want to have a quality time lunch or quality time coffee, because that's when I have
a quality time bagel,
because that's when I have time. And if you want to have, like, I can give you undivided attention, but then that's only a certain amount of time, or you can have a whole bunch of time and maybe my attention is a bit divided, because if you want to go to the movies early or go to a long lunch, then I'm probably gonna have to check my email. So if your idea of quality time is I'm not on my device, then that probably is not gonna work. I heard someone say one time, who I feel like has a really great, a healthy relationship, or at least it looks that way on the outside looking in, because who actually knows for real if you're not in it, but they both have pretty demanding careers. And she said, you know, we have a rule. We don't fuss at each other about taking emails or taking calls. We both know we're in the grind stage of what we're trying to get done. And so if somebody needs to check an email, they check an email. If we're on a date, if somebody needs to do something, they do something. And so we don't make that be a deal breaker for quality time.
I think that's fascinating, because I think that works, and that has worked for me in the past when I've dated somebody that has another corporate job. I find that if I've also dated people who did not work in corporate America, they worked in nonprofit or education, and their schedules, their definition of quality time, their idea of what the workday is, what is work, is very different. I recall someone asking me one time about a reception that I had to go to for work, and they said, well, I don't understand, if you're not getting paid for these receptions, why are you going? And I'm like, it doesn't quite work that way. Like, I'm not an hourly employee. And I found it was very difficult to try to explain to somebody, and to this person, because they were so granular and black and white in their thinking. If I'm going to something, I need to get paid. If I'm not getting paid, I'm not going. And my job is just, my career is not like that at all.
So that to me leads me into the kind of the next part of the discussion, which is when your job is just real shiny, right? Like when your job
shiny?
Just
what is shiny?
Shiny, like P. Diddy, shiny, like a shiny suit.
Like big.
Your job is, yeah, right. When your job is real shiny. So you have to go to receptions. You have to go to suites. You have
black
to go
tie
to concerts.
Events.
Yeah, you have to go to black tie events. Like you said, someone can definitely take the position of, you know, why do you do that? Or I don't want to do that. When I'm off, I'm off. Why are you taking, you know, why you got to do
I've
stuff?
I've heard that.
When you're off, you still seem to be somewhat on. And so to me, that presents another issue aside from just quality time. It's just when your job gets more attention or requires more of your attention than the person you're with's job requires. And I find that you really have to have a conversation up front and really make sure the person understands sort of what your gig is. And then what I've most found, probably one of the main reasons why I'm still single, is that people really have to walk that out. And so a lot of times people feel like they're going to be good. They're like, oh yes, especially if you have that sort of male female dynamic, and they're like, oh, I'm good. I mean, I dated girls that's got big jobs. I'm straight. And then when they're actually walking out, you having something to do every night until Friday, they don't like that, because, you know, I think that a lot of times men, they want you to be on pause.
I also think that sometimes it sounds more fun than it's actually going to be, even though I try to tell people, hey, I want you to come with me to this. It's not going to be fun. I know it's going to be a concert, but it's going to be a concert at a suite full of people who are 40 years older than us, or, you know, what have you. And
you
I've actually
40 years older than you, 40 years older than you.
Okay. You know, I'm the queen of hyperboles. Okay. 25, 30, what if, and I actually, you know, took somebody with me to a baseball game one time, and we had the suite for work, and they literally said in the middle of the baseball game, I can't say it on the air, but basically I'm bored and take me home. And I'm like, I told you this is what it was going to be like. And all these other weeks that we've been dating and you've been bugging me to come to this stuff, this is what I've been going to. So hashtag knock it off.
And that's what you said, knock it off. Go sit down and eat that hot dog and I'll catch you on the back end.
No, but I'm saying it was a challenge. You make light of it all you want. It was a challenge.
No, I just wonder how you really do deal with that, because I've definitely had that too, where someone has become completely withdrawn at an event, or, you know, wanted to check out or went and checked out. just, you know, went into a whole nother space and left. And I didn't know where the person was because they were not having a good time. And I do agree with Sheryl Sandberg's philosophy that she discusses in her book, Lean In, which is who you date, who you pick as a spouse speaks volumes about who you are, and it makes a big statement about who you are. And those kind of moments can definitely impact your career. And so you cannot, homies, disregard what that is going to look like as you are in relationships. If that matters to you, there is a perception with that.
And I'd like to think that over the years I've gotten better at knowing when to bring people, when not to bring people, and more importantly, setting up what the evening is going to look like in terms of interaction, who's going to be, not necessarily like the names of the folks that are going to be there, but the types of folks and what the conversation could potentially be about, and then really get their buy-in. Is, are you sure this is something you want to come with to? And because I have to go, right?
So you don't find that that's condescending if you sit them down and say, so we have this event on Thursday and people might talk about politics and maybe there's going to be some discussion of Fortran. Is that something you'd like to attend, sweetie?
I don't say it in that baby voice like that.
But, oh, you don't? What do you say? No, like, look now, they're going to be talking about politics and Fortran. Do you want
to
go?
No, I just say, like, hey, we got to go to this. It's not going to be fun. This is what folks, is, you know, this is basically going to be the gist of the night. Do you want to come with? I mean, I just don't want to mislead somebody, you know, because even if we're going to something that even sounds fun, like, you know, the Bad Boy concert, if we're going in the law firm suite, that's going to have a different vibe to it than going to the Bad Boy concert with the Bad Boy
reunion. Yeah, because it'll be like, turn with your up. Friends. Turn up. If that's gonna... law firm suite, turn up.
That is correct. That is correct. With the other salt partners.
So, yeah, I mean, I've definitely done that too, especially... not so much with sweets and things like that, but definitely if there was some type of retreat or something I knew that was going to take a couple of days, I have definitely said, but I usually don't say it's not going to be fun. I usually say something like, I really would love for you to come, but I want to make sure you understand what it is. And here's the lay of the weekend and lay it out for them and then say, you know, let me know if you would like to come, especially when you are one of the few, if not the only minority in the mix, because if you are going to something like a retreat or something like that, then a lot of times the spouses and significant others are going to be left alone to mingle among themselves while you're in the business meetings. And so you have to be, I think, very conscious and conscientious about the fact that, you know, are they going to have things in common with the people they're left with when you're not around?
What a great point. I think about many years ago, we went to a wedding out of town. And I was the only, you know, kind of female at work that was invited. And so, you know, we had something to do with all the work folks. And then I was married at the time and my husband got stuck with all the women. And they were like, yay, we're going to, it was in Chicago. The wedding was in Chicago. And they're like, we're going to all go shopping. And we're going to the Mag Mile. And he was like, in the name of everything that is holy,
I'm not, you know, doing that.
I don't want to do that. And even if I did want to go buy a new pair of shoes or a new shirt or a new hat, we don't want to go to the same stores. And that was really the first time I realized, like, oh my gosh, that had to be a horrible day for him. And it would have been better for him to just opt out and do his own thing, whatever that looked like.
Yeah. And I've had that happen before too, on one of those
retreats.
Yeah. And it wasn't a firm retreat. We had gone to a conference and then people were going to stay at a very beautiful place and people were wanting to stay over the weekend. The idea was we would play golf and then the significant others would shop and spa and then we would go to dinner. And I remember thinking to myself at the time, like, well, what would my boyfriend do? Is he supposed to play golf with my partners and then I go shop with the wives, or is he supposed to go shop with the wives and spy? I'm supposed to.
Are we both supposed to play golf? Yeah.
Why are we both supposed to play golf? Are we both supposed to spy? It just was one of those things. It was one of those things that I think that people don't think through when you are, and that is not about being. That wasn't about being an ethnic minority. That was being a gender. That was a gender minority, and that people don't think through about how that's gonna play out for the other person. And I think you have to be very cognizant of that for sure.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
So aside from them being comfortable, I think the big thing that I've gotten a couple of questions about that actually really led to this episode is we had some people ask us about what about when you just make more money than the person that you're dating and it's a substantial difference and how that is handled in a relationship. And I'm not sure that that's really a just corporate America issue. I think that can happen with any two people. I think sometimes in corporate America, it can be a little more revealing because people's title makes people think that they know what someone makes. And so people are going to make assumptions about who makes more money. I think the appearance of money can be a lot greater in corporate America than outside of corporate America. At least that's my perception.
Yeah. We've heard a lot from the homies about this via email and reaching out on this topic. I think, every article you read, every magazine tells you that money is one of the top five reasons why people break up, whether that be marriages or before you even get to marriage. And it is a delicate balance because even before you get married and when you're just dating, that's not something that you're going to readily tell somebody, well, I make this, what do you make? But I think that it shows itself in different ways.
Absolutely.
The types of restaurants that you want to eat at, the hotels that you choose to stay, what your idea sometimes, what your idea of fun is on the weekend, what your idea of is a good bottle of wine or exchanging gifts with one another. These are all the things where the difference in income or perception of income play a huge role. And what I've learned over the years is without discussing it with you, people make really big, snap, deep judgments about who you are based on how they view you're spending your money.
Yes. And I always say it's not tricking if you have it. So
actually, that's a rap song. That's not
well,
your
I didn't
thoughts.
Want to say that. Right. That's Trick Daddy. Yeah, that is Trick Daddy. Thank you. I'm sharing a little bit of my musical taste at the moment, but yeah, that's Trick Daddy. But what I mean by that is sometimes people will have this perception that somebody is being pretentious is the word I hear a lot. Oh,
hello,
she's
somebody.
So pretentious. He's bougie. So pretentious, bougie, if you will. But to me, sometimes it's not that. It's just that the person, they can afford that. And so they are not pretentious. The word means a pretense, right? To pretend, but they're not pretending. They actually can afford to go to a steakhouse, you know, on a regular Friday night, and it's not your birthday. It's not my birthday. Nobody got promoted. That's just how they roll. And then for other of us, you know, I think about that even with some of my friends, we'll joke and we'll say, girl, no, that's my special nail place. That's not where I go on a regular basis. So it just changes. But I do think in a relationship, it is about how you carry it. Like it is making more money is not so much the issue as it is how you carry it. And then sometimes you can carry it fine and it can still be an issue. And homies, what you really need to understand then is that that's not something you can fix. If the other person just has some insecurities around this issue, family of origin things or things in past relationships, sometimes those are just very difficult to overcome.
But for all the homies out there listening, especially the affluent homies, I'm happy to be a backseat driver. You can take care of me. I will be a great plus one.
I want to be safe.
Hashtag.
That's also a rap song.
Also a rap song. Now you're showing your age. It's a 90s rap song.
It ain't tricking if you have it. But I just think that the money thing can be really difficult, but sometimes you'll know, to me, like Bimitra says, it's little things. Like even when you first meet and you're like, what's your favorite restaurant? And people say, I don't know, Red Lobster or Chili's or something. I don't know. Maybe that will say a lot. And if somebody else says, you know, I really love Ruth Chris, that's going to say a lot. So those are things that can kind of tell you if you are rolling in the same hemisphere, but you don't have to roll in the same hemisphere, but everyone has to be comfortable. And that's the thing that I think makes the challenge. It's not the money or the disparity between you on the money. It's how people perceive it and what they think that says about them.
I think the same thing about the quality time piece, though, because I've gotten busted about every night you're out running the streets and you're at something for work. And I think to myself, well, if I had someone at home, I wouldn't do that. Like, I there is a difference between going to things I have to and going to things that I choose to go to. And so I think the money thing, like everything else, is a communication issue. And can everybody be comfortable in whatever space that the two people that's in the relationship have agreed to?
Right. And sometimes I think, though, this is what I mean by sometimes it's not even about the two people or what they've agreed to or any communication, because sometimes people have a way that they see themselves. And so they have decided that when I grow up, when I'm in a relationship, when I'm in a marriage, I'm the breadwinner. Like, I'm the shot caller. Some people equate money with calling the shots. If that is the case, and they have always thought that I will be the person that makes the most money, you may not be able to overcome this issue. And so I want to make sure that, as Bimitra says, you start with communication, you try to have an open dialogue, but it is also very important to understand that sometimes you're just, it's just sometimes you're not together on that, because you just, you really have a foundational issue that you see it very differently. And on the other hand, if you grew up thinking I'm going to be the princess and someone's going to take care of me, and now they're like, I want you to help pay these bills, that's going to be a 50-50, we need to split everything, that's going to be a problem, because you're like, no, I'm supposed to be cared for, and someone's supposed to pay my bills. And so I don't know that that's not really about communication, as that is just really realizing that you might just be on different pages, and you do need to communicate so that you can figure out if you're on the same page.
Communication, and what works for one couple isn't going to work for the next couple. So that's basically what we got.
Yeah. And that is the last thought that she is so right about, that I would definitely leave you with, is that you cannot compare your relationship with someone else's. That's not about the quality times. That is not about, you know, the shininess of the jobs. That's not about any of that, because there are lots of people who will carry their relationships extremely differently than you do, and it will work for them. And there is no, you know, cookie cutter way to do things with that. So anyway, thanks again for joining us on our second love episode. As we said, we're doing a 4-part series. This was the second one. If you haven't listened to the first one, go back and check that one out, and then catch the next two that are coming up in February.
And again, this was a show topic that we were asked to give. So please keep the feedback coming. If there's a topic or you have an opinion, you want to share something, if you've been implementing any of the tips from the shows, we want to hear from you and hear how that's working for your career and how you're becoming or growing and becoming more of a rock star homie.
Right. And you know where to find us. You can always send all that to questions@corporatehomie.com. Tweet us or Facebook us on social media. Where everything is Corporate Homie, HOMIE. You know how the homie spell it. IE. You know how the homie spell it. And so if you're listening to the show and you love the show and you think the show is great, drop your girls a 5-star rating on whatever medium that you're listening to. 5-star chicks. Drop that, since I'm going to stick with my rap.
You're in the zone.
I'm in the zone. That's Yo Gotti.
The ratchet rap zone.
Right, Yo Gotti. He's from Memphis. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.